Okay, so just listen to Sebastian singing. This is amazing.
Now?
Yes, I'm recording right now.
Oh, you're recording?
Yep. Okay, this was after I told Sebastian that I recorded him singing.
Yeah,
And
no,
this
it's
is
not
gonna go
before.
out to the world.
Yeah, thank you. Was I good?
Was what good?
My singing.
Oh.
I was fucking
Yeah, it was
around in a
fine.
little bit, so.
Okay. I don't know how much this is actually recording. Anyway, this is our first test. Me and Sebastian's, or what is it? Tea with Mia and Seb.
Tea time with Mia and
Tea
Seb.
time with Mia and Seb. Ba? I
No,
don't
that's
like, I can't
Seba.
call you that. Yeah, okay, perfect. Okay, tea with Mia and Seb.
Tea
And,
time with Mia and
oh,
Seb.
tea time. Why tea? No, tea time sounds like golf. Yes, I'm right.
Okay, but what's it called when you have consecutive first letters?
What does that? Oh, what? Oh, like
So,
an
kitty
alliteration?
cat died
Isn't that an
trapped.
alliteration?
I don't
Okay,
know.
regardless, it
This
doesn't
is like
matter.
grade 9 stuff.
Okay, I still think it should be tea with the end sub because tea time is
Rock,
golf.
paper, scissors, later.
Okay, fine. Okay, anyway, okay, what we wanted to talk about was loneliness. The reason, I guess we have different reasons. So for me, it's because of my passion for helping the elderly, I guess. Not that I want to be paternalistic about it in health as like often we are, but just exploring the problem and then just seeing actually if there's a lot of things that we can learn from older adults in how they handle loneliness, because I think that because it is more prevalent with them in terms of isolation. And that's something that actually I was just looking at right now, was being able to define isolation versus loneliness, because there can be a difference, but often obviously they're put together. So I just wanted to understand more about what is happening in our community about how people are feeling lonely, and how you might feel alone. So, especially in the mental health and addiction space, with older adults. And I feel like we have to delve into a problem, or delve deep into a problem to truly understand it, and then to hopefully find some kind of solution. I'm just hoping that we'll learn something. Okay, you can talk about why you want to learn about it.
All right, so my reason for trying to figure out a solution to loneliness is mostly economical. The happier you are, well, sorry, the less lonely you are, the more productive you usually are. The less lonely you are, the healthier you are, and the less lonely you are, the higher quality of life you have.
Okay. I think also we need to talk about this in less objective terms and like more also subjective. So like I guess I have been feeling lonely. Not so much lonely, but just I'm in a state of I'm a bit
Non-control.
lost right now in my life because I just came back from traveling and I'm going to be getting a nursing job, and there's just a lot
You
of
have to
things
adult.
that are changing, and I have a really hard time really focusing on things because I'm really just not sure what I want to do. I'm not sure if I want to keep going in nursing. I don't know if I want to go into entrepreneurship, and entrepreneurship is also a lonely profession, as a lot of people have said. There's caffeine in that. But it's really good. I got a mate drink today, which was super yummy, and it's called Enlighten Mint, as in like mint tea. Anyway, super lame. Okay. Yeah, I just kind of want this, if this is going to be interviews with people, I really do want it to be, like, very vulnerable and, like, and raw.
No filter.
Yes, no filter. Authentic. So I guess I want to be honest about, like, where I'm coming from, because I think everybody experiences loneliness.
Well, that's how you start getting close to someone, when you start exposing yourself and making yourself vulnerable.
Exactly.
Then they feel like they're allowed to do the same thing.
Yes, it's true. And I guess I find that I'm also meeting a lot of people who do feel this loneliness. And obviously not all the time, but I think part of the reason that might be is because we're not given as many situations and as much time to be able to talk about shared experiences, because once you can talk about those shared experiences, you then realize that you're not alone. So,
well, it might be, I wouldn't say it's shunned in our society, but it's more encouraged to hold on to baggage, because that means you're strong. It doesn't actually mean you're strong, but that's kind of the message that maybe our parents got.
We're told to hang on to baggage.
Not hang on to it, but like, hey, if you're scarred, that means you're experienced. And like, you're not allowing yourself to heal is basically forgetting what you've gone through. They get mixed up together. And this is not entirely true, but it is somewhat true.
I'm not really following what you're saying, to be completely honest.
So if you've been damaged.
By what?
By so whatever.
You've gone
something
through some
traumatic.
Kind of trauma. Sure. Okay. So we're going into trauma.
So if you hold on to it,
mm-hmm.
and you say this is a part of you,
yeah.
then you're strong.
Okay.
And if you continue to
but
allow
you
to damage you,
you
should always try and resist it. I don't believe that's strength.
You don't think it's part of you if you, like, have gone through something?
No, I wouldn't say it's something that you can, that's obviously always part of you.
Yeah.
But not dealing with it
okay.
is a sign of strength.
Yeah,
that means
sure.
it doesn't affect you.
Well,
or
that's
you don't
been
think it
very,
you.
Well, that's this, like, stoic quality of, I don't know, I would say stereotypically men that just, like, aren't, like, allowed,
kind of.
Quote, unquote, to, like, talk about certain things. And, okay, now this is kind of getting into, I guess, like, our, like, personal kind of stuff.
Well,
but
not entirely. Like, the baggage that I hold on to, for me it says,
mm-hmm.
you've gone through stuff, that means you're worth something. Like, the amount of pain that you endure as a man tells you how much a man you are.
Okay, I think that that is, like, really
It's not
sad.
Entirely true, but that's my perspective of it.
Okay. Well, I would say I have a different perspective.
I don't like that. Sucks.
Okay. Well, I guess it just depends on, like, whether you do accept that or not. So, why was this related to loneliness exactly?
Well, if being lonely is a scar, then you have to endure it. That's a sign of strength.
So people feel like you just, like, have to be lonely?
Well, you have to
be
able
strong.
To be lonely.
No, I wouldn't say that at all. Like, so...
That's not true for all men. But that means it's somewhat true for men who not enjoy being lonely.
Okay,
but who
like
are
a
able
lot of,
to be
like,
who choose to be lonely.
This is a lot of like masochism. Isn't that like when you're like self hurt yourself or something? Or, Yeah, to derive pleasure from your own pain or humiliation.
No, but they don't derive pleasure.
Well, I guess it's pleasure, but it's like honor. It's like honor, which But, no, I think we're going also,
we're going
like,
off,
way off topic.
Yeah.
I don't really understand where you were going with that, to be completely honest. Because I think it's important to talk about traumas, and that's actually been a really big theme in a lot of the conversations that I've actually been having with people lately. Because I'm a nurse, and I've been learning a lot about the mental health and addiction space lately. And doing some workshops and meeting other people who are starting businesses actually related to a lot of trauma-informed care and research related to that. So something that's interesting is this ACEs study. It was by Kaiser Permanente. It's adverse child events It's this massive study that they ran, and basically they found a lot of things to be interesting, but specifically,
what did they study? They studied
like how childhood trauma affects a person in late life. So like related to addiction or their well-being.
What do you mean by late life? Like late 30s?
Like throughout their life. I don't know. I don't know exactly the ages, but like at least 20 years, we'll say.
Well.
So what they found though was that it wasn't one big traumatic event that it was many, many small ones.
So every small little traumatic event just erased hope and erased hope and erased hope?
Well, yeah, I guess so. Yeah, it's true. So maybe it is that kind of like you're filled with hope
about the world,
and like maybe just like that whole, trust in humanity piece, and then like the more and more that you are shown that like the world is not.
Can I give like an analogy for this?
Thing. Yeah.
I'll go about it by doors. So there's like three doors, and behind every door there's another three doors, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of having one door shut on you, that would be like the small traumatic, and then you have to go through the other ones. You burn two of them.
Oh God.
So it's a lot more traumatic. So you're forced to go through one.
But I don't think it limits your pathways.
Well, no, it's not limiting pathways. It just burned in front of me. It didn't just like slowly shut itself. It just went, boom, gone. So basically that avenue that you were thinking of, that you lost all hope in it,
mm-hmm.
in that trauma, and you're like, wow, I cannot
deal
with
that. But that's assuming that like all of your trauma is like completely like ruined
No. Sorry, I wasn't done.
Oh.
So you burn those two doors in the first stage, but then there's another three doors that are fine. And then three doors are fine.
Okay, well that's good.
So that's
like
the big trauma.
Thing. Okay, well so basically you're saying that like when something does happen to you, it does completely shift your life, or shifts your like perspective on life, especially.
No, but what's more impactful? The two burning doors, or the one door that keeps shutting.
What?
Repeatedly over and over again. Because they're small traumas, they repeat.
Yeah. Then it's the like small one. It's the one that keeps going around.
Yeah.
That's literally what the research was saying.
No, I know. I'm just thinking if I got it.
Oh, okay.
Like if I put in a different story.
I still don't fully understand that analogy, to be honest. I don't follow a lot of your analogies. So if anybody can follow his analogies, please let me know. Because a lot of the times you lose me. But, like, that's okay. going back to what we actually want out of this, though. Like, okay.
Small traumas.
No. What is... Okay. I guess I thought also that you wanted to discuss, or you were like loneliness was on your mind, especially too with the book that you are reading, if you want to talk about that.
Oh yeah, I'm reading The Village Effect. I'm about page like 60 right now, so not too deep into it. But mostly it's not like it proves anything, but it gives a lot of statistical evidence that most of what it's talking about is true. But it could also not be true. It hasn't cited any counter statistics or anything. So, basically it states, as I said at the beginning, the more lonely you are, the more likely you are to get sick. The more lonely you are, the unhappier you are, technically. So that really, you lack endorphins and oxytocin, which comes with close connection and basically human touch. And those hormones basically allow you to heal. So that's just for mostly close friendships. There's also a network effect that happens from ties to people you don't really know, like so friends of friends or people you met a few years ago that you have somewhat vague connection to.
So wait, what, they can also...
They will help with information. They are the most helpful for information.
Uh-huh.
So people in your inner circle, they can't really give you new information because you mostly know everything about them. But the people that you don't know too much about will know that doctor that will heal you from a surgery that you need a really good doctor for. They'll recommend you the best doctor or the best surgeon,
mm-hmm.
whatever you need.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't come from the people you know. It just comes from the people you kind of heard of and know.
Right. So. Well, I think that information can also be given by the people that you know.
No, because you should know it.
Well,
like, I know.
Have to.
Like, I'm super. Let's say I'm super close with you. Hang out every day with you. That's not what happens. But let's say I do that. You tell me everything
that
about your day.
For me, for like anyone. Oh, but you're talking about like spouse.
Yeah.
That kind
of thing. I'm talking about the super close connection.
Oh, okay. Well, I still. Okay, so I guess
those are the connections
me,
that are valued a lot more if you're talking about releasing oxytocin
true.
And.
Right. Okay. Fair. So, if we're going biological, but.
That's what I was talking about.
Okay. Well, I would say, like, a lot of my, like, best friends, though, are, like, my soulmates kind of deal. Like, obviously not that same level of, like, intimacy, but, like, there's still people that
both
give me information and, like...
intimacy.
Yeah, no, totally. Well, then I would say, then, that I do have, like, good intimacy with people. But anyway, regardless, that's, like, a very... Yeah. What I was wondering was... Okay. We know... I think we can agree on, like, what the definition of, like, or some kind of defined definition of loneliness, which
we
is...
We haven't made that up, so
well,
we don't
okay.
know.
What do you, like, could we say the lack of, like, human contact and connection? So, like, isolation is, like, lack of human contact, and then, like, loneliness, lack of, like, feeling connected with people, essentially.
I would say it's a lack of belongingness. And what you said.
Lack of belonging. Okay, yeah. So, that's interesting. And I feel like that's something I should have, like, thought of.
Belonging and close connection.
In the campaign, there's also, like,
what's
a campaign
definition?
To end loneliness. I know, I had it, but...
Just look it up on Google. Give multiple definitions.
I know, that's, like, what I did before, but,
I don't like this tea.
You don't like it?
I do like it.
I know, it's nice, right? What are we drinking again? It's oh wait, you're talking about the mate.
I'm both.
Oh. Okay, well, no. Loneliness, sadness because one has no friends or company is technically what it says on Google.
No friends or company?
Okay. Well, anyway, obviously, like, way more. But, I think what we can talk about is, like, trends in loneliness, like what we assume, so this would be like our hypotheses,
mm-hmm.
and then also what we think like the opposite of loneliness is then, because like what are we trying to then achieve by like making loneliness better? The how,
would
I guess,
have
will
to be the opposite?
Come. Okay, don't think of it so like, you know what I mean? Like grainy like that. Just like, you know what I mean by opposite, as in just, like, what are we trying to achieve? That's all I'm trying to say.
Okay.
The part about the opposite thing should not be, like, the focus.
Okay, well,
in my opinion.
You kind of made it the focus when you stated it that way. That's why I went.
Okay, well, why did you think that? Like, why, or what?
Well, it's
like,
the way you phrase it. You're like, what is the opposite? So we're trying to find the opposite.
Okay. I guess we're not, yeah, it's true. We're not trying to find the opposite. Fine, that's a good point. We're trying to find what,
cures loneliness.
I guess, but that's if you, like, assume it's a disease. Some people think it's a disease. But,
well, whatever makes easiness go away. Wait. What did I just say?
You said something about, like, easiness go away.
Whatever makes loneliness go away. The feeling of loneliness go away. The bad parts of loneliness go away.
But I think it's also... Okay, first of all, yeah, I think it's also okay to feel lonely. Like, and that's true. Okay,
but not
so the bad
make
parts
it destroy your health.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Yeah.
So that's true. It's just like addiction in that way, where if it starts affecting your like well-being and your like ability to do things, that's when it actually probably then leads to more of a depression. So there's like how there's research now more on like how loneliness does lead to depression, and what that looks like actually on a biological level.
Like what
depends
if we can make
Toronto.
What if we can make people who feel loneliness? This could be a side goal if we can't absolutely cure, quotes, loneliness. What makes the bad effects of loneliness go away? Like, you can still be lonely and not be depressed. You can still be lonely and not, and live a long life and be healthy.
For sure. Yeah.
So what is it? It could be genes, which we can't really change, but
right.
There might be other things.
Well, okay, we can look at all of that, but then I thought.
But that would take
what
a lot
we,
of study.
Well, yeah, and so, like, what I'm wondering what we can technically do with, like, our skill set and our ability to just, like, have conversation is like what
what would or others, what is our goal?
I think for right now it's our goal, and I think we can talk about how later after we talk to more people.
Okay, so
because,
we're
going to
find
you know
out
I
our
mean?
Goal. Because
yeah.
I thought we were going down the how. I was like, oh, we're not there yet.
So, no, we shouldn't go down the how. I think first should be
Well, we just did the why. So shouldn't we
like,
do the
like, as in,
how?
Like, loneliness? No, we didn't talk about, like, what we think loneliness looks like right now and the trends on, like, a macro level. And then, what was I thinking? The trends, and then what the heck was I thinking for the last part? Like,
the goal.
Oh yeah, the goal. Oh my god. Okay, trends, and then the goal of this. So, are we trying to get people to feel more connection? So, like. I guess what we can go by is just the time, like we still feel lonely, even though we technically have like good connections with people and we have the physical ability to go like meet people. So I'm just wondering like what is going on maybe in our society where people think that there's a lack of connection and then do they, you know, the whole, I don't know, everybody's talking about technology and like, I don't know, the hopelessness kind of the world, like in the political and economic state that it's in.
To be clear, this is just about Tecumseh and Windsor area. That is our demographic that we're speaking of.
I guess like right now, because we would be talking to people from here if we would talk in person.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
so all our assumptions are only for Tecumseh and Windsor. Right?
Oh, okay. Well, all of our findings, I guess, kind of is like.
But our assumptions that we're talking about right now.
Oh, no, I was talking about the world.
Oh, okay, you're just talking about loneliness
like,
in general.
But I guess we can, so we can do both. So I guess we can do, that's a good point, again. So trends, like, worldwide, and then trends on a, like community level. And
because
then,
if you ask an Italian community that's super isolated to mm-hmm. live like us, they'd
right.
all go insane because they were like,
no,
my
completely.
Family hates me.
Yeah.
They only see me once a week.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Like,
their expectations are
their expectations
yeah.
are to be taken care of every day,
yeah.
bathe every day.
Yeah.
Yada, yada, yada.
So I guess like so if we're talking about the trends then a worldwide community, then our goal technically actually is only for just that
just
North
America
piece. Yeah. But what I was wondering was whether we did want to maybe go worldwide, because like it would be cool to kind of talk to some of my friends in like other places of the world and just see if some of what we talk about resonates. You know what I mean?
That's a different culture, so it might or might not. I have no idea.
Yeah, but that's where I think it would be interesting to be able to see what they have to say so that the coping skills and the findings of how we can improve this
okay, so
could be influenced.
Let's go back to our solution. Is it for Windsor Tecumseh our solution, or is it for everyone?
Well,
that isn't clear right now.
Yeah, well, because we don't even have a solution. And
well, what are we going to find? What are we trying to find?
I think, for me, I'm just trying to know if people are also lonely. Like if loneliness is something that other people are thinking about, too, which I think they are, because especially with, like, addiction, it's a really big topic.
Other people who? Where?
I guess in our community, yeah. Yeah, I'm
okay.
thinking of, like, Windsor Tecumseh.
Yeah, because I'm sure a few... Like, Indian people, like in India,
yeah.
they're too busy.
What? No,
Nasul
would, like, talk to me about this.
Really?
Yeah, of course he would.
I'm surprised. Okay.
Why is that surprising?
I don't know, it's about the culture, so I thought I'm wrong.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, no, I think talking to them would mostly be about, like, what they think about, or, yeah, if they think about loneliness and, like, if they... have strategies in their culture kind of that like you know I'm just curious about that. I think that's more curiosity, and then in terms of like a solution though, that's definitely going more at the community level. So like how would we be able to potentially start a program where like to start, I guess it would be like us just like having these conversations with older people and then seeing how I don't know, something can be done about it, you know.
Okay, so our job right now is to do micro things.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So, okay. do you see trends then? Let's go just community then, because we're just wanting to focus on that. Yeah? So trends in, like,
trends
if you
and think causes?
Maybe causes and, like, just, like, observations, whatever you want to talk about.
Okay. So for me, what got me in, it wasn't really loneliness, but it was, like, kind of like a depression state. It was just, like, the absurdity of life.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, technically it has no meaning. And that's, like, it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard living your life without meaning. You just sit there and you're like, well,
for sure.
Alrighty then. Like, mm-hmm. Why the heck am I here? And then you just contemplate on that. And then you end up going through a thought puzzle. And then you end up right at the beginning. And then you're like,
mm-hmm.
Well, that wasn't helpful. I just spent four hours just staring at a wall. And
okay.
Yeah.
Like, is it because maybe you're having trouble finding the thing that really gives you energy?
Not really. If it's true that life has no meaning, then nothing should give you energy.
There's no... Okay, well, you can argue that, sure, but then, like...
That's only if you're convinced that that's true.
Exactly. So...
So if you, like, read Camus, he's a philosopher, and he's basically just like, there's no meaning, we're all going to die.
Yeah. Well,
that's how he lives.
A lot of, like, old philosophers. But,
That's funny.
I don't know. I guess that's why, like, people say, also, you have to, like, make your own purpose. Like, you can choose what really brings you energy. And that's something that, like, I'm really trying to find is, like, really paying attention to focus. Because I actually have the opposite problem, where I'm just, like, so excited literally about everything because I think it's so cool. And then I basically burn myself out because I keep kind of trying to do different things.
Yeah, but you learn every single time.
I do definitely learn every single time. And if we're talking about the loop, like, it's an iterative process all the time. So, like, at least there's the trying something. What I need to focus on more is the planning and execution, which I'm just developing the skills for, so that's okay. But, and then failure. And then that's okay. And then you just kind of keep trying again and keep learning from it. And I guess a big part of it is, like, still being okay with feeling so small, if that makes sense. And that's why...
You mean insignificant or small?
Insignificant.
Okay.
Yeah, that's still okay, but then finding the balance between feeling that insignificance in, like, the face of you know, how overwhelming the world is and everything, but also, and I'm just thinking of when you go hiking, it's incredible, and then you just think about how, like, tiny you are in the world. So...
Universe or world? Like...
Doesn't matter, both. What? But I guess...
Well, because technically, you are someone important to the world, but you are not important at all in the universe.
I don't know what that means. I literally consider that to be both the same. You're not grasping exactly, like, what it is that I'm trying to say.
No, I'm following. I just want to make that clear. Like, you
That's
do have an impact
clear.
On the Earth, but you have no impact on the universe.
Okay, but you could also say, like... So, okay, basically what I mean is that, like, regardless of what I choose, it doesn't change, like, that much. Like, it's going to be... I don't know. In my brain, it's more of, like, it's all going to be okay if I... I don't know, this, like, beautiful view that I see in front of me will still exist, and I'll be able to go back to it even if I fail this one test or something. Like, not that big of a deal. What are you trying to look for?
I'm trying to find what worries millennials.
Okay.
It's a study by The Economist, and it's, like, anxiety and depression, pressure to do drugs, pressure to do well in school.
I think that there is a lot of pressure. So if we're talking about kind of, like, trends and, like, reasons for some of
the loneliness or addiction,
I'm
kind of going off, but...
Yeah. Well, I think we're, like, kind of getting lost in this conversation, but...
Okay,
I think
let's go back to the goal. That's important.
Of all of this.
We're not going on a tangent instead of goal.
Well, I guess I thought we were talking about this to be able to just, like, explore a little bit more of the problem to then be able to discuss the goal. So, like, I don't know, Mom thinks that a big issue with young people right now is that they don't have this, like, link with nature. Also, we have 15 minutes remaining, so maybe 5 minutes.
I kind of disagree with that.
Okay, why?
Because all we do is whine that we're killing the Earth, but we don't do anything about it.
Well, maybe some people are.
It's not here.
And also, that's like a very, like, hopeless way of viewing it again.
What? No, we whine about climate change.
Yeah, I know.
But no one actually...
Okay, you literally just made an absolute...
I wouldn't say no one.
Okay.
Hey, take everything I say with a grain of salt.
Well, we're having supposed to be having a discussion. So
okay. Oh, yeah, you guys don't know me. But basically, I say things in absolute, but I always assume that I'm wrong.
But we can't... You can't do that with just, like, even people that do know you, okay? Because if you're all about, like, the truth, that's not the truth. So.
Okay. Yeah, then call me out on it when I do it. That's fine. Keep calling me out on it.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, I wanted to explore more of the trends, I guess, like, leading to this sense of loneliness. And for me, I found actually coming back from traveling to different places, or, like, seeing how people live compared to here has been really interesting because, for example, in Tecumseh and Windsor, you have to, like, drive everywhere. And I can't read this right now. Just, like, read it when I'm done with this thought. So, yeah, you have to drive everywhere. So you're in a car alone a lot. Whereas, like, in other places when there's public transport, you get to kind of see how other people live. And you actually, like, you know, are on a tram with, like, an old lady and, like, a kid and, like, people from, like, different walks of life. Yeah, like, it's really, really good. And you actually get people from different social classes, too, all in one place.
So should you incentivize public transit?
Oh, my God, yeah. I am, like, a massive advocate for public transit.
How do we incentivize public transit, then?
Okay, we're not getting to the solution yet. We're only talking about, like, issues.
All right.
So, that, and then also, my experience is also working in, like, the startup world in, Australia, and then now coming back here, I'm meeting more people who are in startups, and it just seems like the people here can't take it easy. Like, they need things to move, like, super, super fast, or else, like,
in the business,
technically their business, is obsolete. Yeah.
Are you just talking about business? Or?
I'm mostly talking about business right now, yeah. But, like, it does seem like people need things to happen super, super fast. Or even in non-business, like, people feel like they need to save as much money as possible because they think that they don't have very much. And I don't know.
It could be the age demographic that you've been working at.
Because they're older? Okay, yeah. But there's, like, another guy, too, though. No. I think it's, like, yeah, I guess maybe. True. Like, I've been working with people in their, like, 30s or 40s, which is, like...
Yeah, and they're starting a plan for saving for kids and whatever.
I guess so.
Expenses.
No, but they're not. Like, most of them are actually, like, the guy who did have kids, like, they're all, like, older and stuff. And anyway, doesn't matter. Regardless.
Responsibility, that's
what I'm saying. Yeah, sure. But you keep making me lose my train of thought.
You feel like you're being rushed here.
Yeah, I do feel like I'm being rushed. I think that everybody just feels like they need somebody to go full force on this one.
Is it so they can beat everyone else?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it's like competition.
I love it.
A sense of like needing to also beat the market kind of to it and like...
beat the market?
As in, like, have it, like, ready forever. I don't know. It's just, like, I find it really odd. And I find it odd because, I guess, like, when I was in Australia, there was just much more focus on, like, a balanced life and actually, like, wanting to, like...
Actually living?
Actually living. No, exactly. Like, everybody's focused on grinding now and, like, you know, paying attention to the outcome, which is having $1 million and being, like, financially stable.
Yeah, people are sold the idea that success is retiring early and then sipping pina coladas on the beach for the rest of your life.
Exactly. Completely.
Success.
Yeah. That's the whole...
You're gonna get bored of it after a year.
Totally.
And you're gonna
exactly.
Be like, shit.
Yeah.
I made all the money, and
so
now I don't even want to
spend it. Your process, too. Yeah, completely. So, anyway, this isn't, again, completely attached to loneliness, but, like, I do think that maybe
well, no,
in North America...
Well, it's not loneliness. It's a problem.
Well,
that can be a toxic.
We isolate ourselves. I think like we are creating a system that does create more isolation.
No, I totally agree with that. In the book, it discusses the American dream is to have people who love you, but in a different city.
Right.
So hopefully they conquer that city and do awesome in that city, and then move on to the next.
Yeah.
Move on to the next. Well, guess what? You guys are successful, but you guys aren't close anymore.
Well,
because you're too busy conquering your own city.
Okay, Sasha, but I also don't love how you, like, then go right to, I don't know, it being just, like, sad, because, like, I live in different cities than some of my friends, but, like, I still really feel, like, very close with them, and, like, it's been years.
No, but are you trying to conquer?
What? Why are we trying to conquer anything?
No, that's the point.
No, it's not. What is conquering?
No. Doing really well, and then everyone else that you forget about the people you care about.
Oh, right, okay, so, like, I'm not doing that, obviously.
Obviously not.
Oh, I see. So, like,
you treasure your connections.
Yeah, it's true.
And therefore, you're not too lonely.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's true, I guess. So anyway, I guess in different demographics, I'm interested to learn more about loneliness. So in the aged care area, or in the elderly space, I guess, and addiction, those have been my two focuses. But I guess I'm also really curious because it seems everybody's talking more and more about, like, young people having difficulty creating connection, and I'm just wondering if that's true, and whether we can get older people or other people that have strategies to be able to, like, kind of help out the new generation, because I'm a bit worried that if people don't feel a sense of connection, then it makes it really hard for us to progress as a society, actually. I
see it as a paradox of freedom. Like, I encourage freedom 100%. I think if you maximize freedom, it's the best. Mm-hmm. Once you give someone too many choices, they get anxious.
No,
then
totally.
Then they go, well, shit, I don't want to choose.
Yeah, anything. No, that is actually a really, really big, good point. And I actually watched a TED Talk about that. Super interesting. But, like, basically, we have much choice. Yeah, we probably did.
Yeah.
Like, literally, we can go anywhere in the world. It's, like, pretty easy. We can, like, literally study so many things, and they have done studies that, like, if a company, they wanted people to, like, choose an insurance, and they gave, like, 20 options, and nobody chose any, and then once they gave 3, people actually did read, like, their, like, contracts, obviously, and then were able to choose, so it doesn't have to be the best option.
Well, that might be people either getting too overwhelmed, or people not caring enough to actually understand every single plan.
No, that's fair. So, like, there's, like, the two options. But regardless, like, overwhelming feeling and anxiety. And I've felt that, too, and that's why I think that, I'm a very excitable person. I'm like, oh, my God, there's all the ideas. But I've had to now focus my control.
It.
I welcome it, but now I'm not. Now I'm, well, okay, that's not true. I guess it's kind of part of my nature, too. But, okay, regardless, there are 6 minutes left, and we need to talk about our goal with this. So what do we want to achieve in having these conversations with people?
You want a concrete goal or a generic goal?
Well, I want a discussion.
Okay. So my goal is basically to prove to the government that what we're going to do is...
You're talking too business-like, but okay, fine.
Well,
continue.
Yeah, because that's kind of what I want. Because I'm looking at it from more of an economic standpoint. You're looking at more to increase the welfare of people.
Well, I want both, but to start, I want just, like, information. Like, I want different people's perspectives of whether, like, this is, like, a thing.
My goal, because I'm assuming it's a
thing. Okay, so you're saying overarching goal, but I also want the goal of the conversations. So both.
Okay. So conversations, to me, is just data.
Okay, it's data, but then also, is it going to be, like, helpful for you? Like, what do you even want to find out about, like
if
they
learn
were...
something with the conversations, I'll learn from.
Yeah.
I'll learn something.
Well, then you need to figure out what questions you want to ask, though. That's the biggest thing.
I'll figure that later.
Okay, fine.
That's for next episode, next week.
Okay.
So basically, my goal is to prove to the government via data that we get from these interviews and these tea times. That loneliness is a problem, and the benefits of combating loneliness and how it'll improve, like I said, health, longevity, which might be not in the government's best interest, but health definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Productivity, and a byproduct of all that will be an increase in quality of life. So quality of life technically doesn't matter with the numbers, but if you're an altruist and you care about people, then that is okay.
Are you an altruist and do you care about people?
Well, I'm not an extreme altruist.
Okay.
But I would say you care about people. Well, it's proven that you derive
more happiness.
You better
care from people. You care about me? Hello.
It's proven that you derive more happiness from helping others than helping yourself. So it's your best interest to help others.
Okay, that is like a weird way of like doing it. Anyway, Sasha and I, by the way, disagree on like a decent amount of things, which is
I don't like your hair. She likes your hair.
Okay. Well, moving on from that like horrible comment.
I'm gonna shut up now.
So, I guess my goal is, well, I want like a. I want us to be able to, like, I guess, hypothesize certain things. So, like, we assume that loneliness is a problem just because there's more and more research about it and people are talking about it. And I guess I just really want to know what that means and, like, what...
What people talking about a problem means?
Well, I just want to know, like, what people define to be even, like, loneliness. Because, like, you can have loneliness sometimes during the day. You can
okay,
have
right,
loneliness
last question.
Sometimes.
What do you define as loneliness?
Yeah. Like, and do you even see it as a problem? Because, like, some older people, I think, would be, like, you know, it's just kind
sometimes
of, like, the way it is.
Being old.
Like, or, like, you know. It's,
but it didn't always come with being old. That's the thing.
Yeah, it's true. Like, our world is definitely changing. So
does that actually come with being old, or do we just
neglect going to a retirement home to, like, talk about this?
Right? Like,
what?
Is it just a byproduct of being old in our society, or is it a byproduct of kids and parents not giving a shit about their parents?
No, but I don't think that they don't give, like, a poop. But,
Well, like, technically, you're supposed to take care of your grandparents and your parents.
What's technically? Okay, well, anyway, we have 2 minutes remaining. So... I guess I'm coming from it for a more, like,
okay,
yeah, research perspective. And obviously, I do have an interest in business. So I'm curious to know if there's something that I can provide in terms of a service to society to be able to, increase... increase connection, because when I see a society that's happy, it makes me happy, and, like, I want to be part of a society that feels connected, and, I don't know, there's always going to be bad things that happen in communities, but,
the ability to bounce back shows the strength of a society.
Yeah. I think also, it's a mix of also being kind of, like, worried about the next generation, so, like, I kind of want, to just know more about, like, what's going on with kids these days, because I feel kind of disconnected from that, I guess. And
do
I'm also a huge advocate for intergenerational learning.
Really? Is that your goal?
Okay.
Leave it at that?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so I was going to pose, do you think we're the last generation or one of the last generations that will actually experience a normal childhood?
Oh my God, what the heck does that mean?
Well, it means like with media, you can see a bunch of, like, bad stuff, and since kids have phones really early, they can access these bad information.
Okay.
Not bad information, but...
So you think that, like, we lived in an illusion, like, when we were kids, because...
And it was the best illusion in the world. Everything was awesome.
Right. Okay. Well, I think a discussion for it next time, because it's basically done. But, again, I think that that is, like, super sad and, like, pessimistic... Oh. Again, where we disagree on, like, many, like, views of how the world works.
It wasn't whether it's
true
or not. Sure,
okay,
calm
it's a question,
down.
Fine, but, like,
you did see my opinion in there. It wasn't
definitely.
Completely...
Yes, and also, I really hope not, because, I don't know, I think kids are having fun these days, and they're just, like, it's just changing with how society goes. We have to also be okay with that. Anyway, okay. This was, I guess, tea with Mia and Beth. And this was really interesting, though, actually. Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Who knows if anybody's listening. Okay.
Okay.
God,